many types of cancers. But if it's in there, it's just going to live and grow and kill. So we have to cut it out and pull it out. But that's not enough. Because often it's at the cellular level. And that's what chemo and radiation are for. Of saying, okay, well, we took out the big chunk and we've got somebody who's part of this church is going through it right now and dealing with the nasty feeling of chemo. But he's saying, well, it's worth it because they think they got it all. But let's kill it. Let's send in the high-powered drugs and kill that. Put to death the cancer because we know if any a little bit's there, it's going to come back and lead to death. So this passage says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And it starts with sexual immorality. You know, that's actually, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, Christians, they get all hung up on sexuality. Well, sort of that's true. Back in this time when he's writing to Colossae, there was huge sexual promiscuity. That was the norm. You'd have your temple prostitutes, you'd have sex here, there, in the next place. And Christianity came and said, no, sex is great, but in marriage. That's where it's designed for. It's as a permanent bonding tool between a man and a wife in marriage. That's what Christianity came and said, hey, you got all this? No. And anything outside of that is with this general term of sexual immorality. So say, hey, put sex where it belongs. And then talks about impurity. That's anything opposite of God. It's technically the filth of decaying flesh. That's what impurity is. But it's not saying, okay, get rid of your decaying flesh. No, it's saying those things that make you unclean. Those things that take you away from God's ways. Lust, evil desires, you know, those passions towards the wrong things. Put that to death. And then he gets specific. He says, let's talk about greed, which is idolatry. So this morning I want to talk about greed. And I'm just giving it a simple definition of the desire for more. So again, if you're following along in the sermon notes, your desire for more. That is what greed is. And it's saying, well, enough is not plenty. More is better. I want it. And another part of this word, greed, that's used here is the idea of covetousness, of wanting what others have, seeing those things out there and saying, I want it. And greed is harsh because it never satisfies. It never stops. You think you're there and you're not. So I have a very... I want to drive this home. It's like a bucket. And you say, okay, well, this is what I need in life. And I'm going to put it in my bucket. But there's a problem. Because greed is like a bucket that you can never fill. You know, you keep pouring more into that bucket. And you say, oh, I'm going to fill up my bucket. Look, I'm up to here. Okay, I'm going to pour more into my bucket. And you keep pouring into your bucket. But it never gets full. That's what greed is like. And it's utterly frustrating. It's like I could sit here all day and pour water into this bucket. And tomorrow I'd come back and it's like, it's still not full. Because greed is like that. It's a cruel master. Because you're trying to fill it up and it's never satisfied. There's always a little bit more you can have. You know, various famous rich people have been asked, how much is enough? And they say, just a little bit more. There's always more you can get because your bucket is always draining out. And maybe you get really good at it, and all of a sudden somehow that bucket increases. And you think it's never enough. When you had enough to begin with, but your perspective was wrong. You wanted more, you wanted more. So that's the problem, is this utterly life-frustrating, untrusting greed of wanting more. So what do we do? What's the opposite of greed? What's the opposite of greed? I think it's giving. It'll stop and then, you know, we won't have a little waterfall all morning. The opposite of greed is giving. Rather than saying, I want more, it's saying, I want them to have more. I want to have this person have this and this person have that. It's a total opposite of wanting more and wanting what others have. But just giving doesn't put greed to death. Just, you know, I can give a little bit. That doesn't really kill it. What is the death blow is radical generosity. Of really giving generously. Generosity is what puts to death greed. With generosity, radical generosity, you can put to death that bit of human nature which will kill you, which will frustrate you. And the great thing is, when you're doing it, you're doing something good. You're doing something awesome. You're doing what we teach every child to do. I mean, what child doesn't get taught somewhere in life that they should share? Come on, share. Share. And some people say, well, they can't understand sharing. Well, that may be true, but a child can be taught to share. And then in time, they understand what it's doing for the other person. But I don't think we ever learn what it's doing for us. How it is spiritually healthy for us. It's fun with kids because sometimes they're so generous because they're not holding things with that closed hand that we start to do as we get older. They're holding it with an open hand, and sometimes you find your kid giving away something and you're like, are you sure? And they're like, oh yeah, he can have my scooter. It's like, but you love that. Yeah, but they're giving it away generously. And sometimes as a parent you have to stop and say, okay, do I allow this or am I going to, you know, have to deal with that crying kid later in the day when they realize what they just gave away? But they naturally can be taught to share and it becomes natural in their life. But then that human nature as we get older comes back and we hold on to it tighter and tighter. So we have to learn to be generous. The Bible says give and give generously. And it's not just because that's the only way God can figure out how to fund his initiatives. God's up there saying, okay, well, let's see. I've got some work to do on this planet Earth. I'm going to just tell everybody, give to me, and then I can fund it. Now, that's not really the main thing. You know, I was thinking of Norway. In Norway, it's got a state church. So do you know how the state church is funded? Well, it's through taxes. You don't have to give to the church. The government just takes it from you and then takes that money and gives it to the church. Well, guess what? People are not growing spiritually in that. The church is not growing in vibrancy in that because people are not giving. My microphone is on. All right, so God is saying, I want you to give and give generously because it's good for you. Because it breaks this bond, it helps you put to death some of that human nature. If God wanted to fund things, he could do it all sorts of other ways. But God wants greed to die in our lives because it sucks the life out of us. We stop thinking of other things and we just get focused. And instead, what we're supposed to do, going back to this passage in Colossians, says set your hearts and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So if we want to follow this advice of setting it on things above, we have to take those things that we naturally focus on and get them above. We are drawn to treasure. We are drawn to treasure. And we're saying, okay, I'm going to collect all the treasure I can. But if our treasure is a bucket and we're watching that bucket go down and fill up and go down, our eyes are not on things above. So we have to take our treasure and put it where our heart and mind are supposed to be. Fortunately, Jesus gives us direct instruction on this. Jesus says, look at the lilies, look at the flowers of the field. They don't work and yet they're beautiful. Look at the grass. God provides for that, takes care of that, and it's all taken care of. And then Jesus says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. And a little bit later, just a line later, he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Set your heart on things above. Well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. How do you get your treasure up there? Well, you give. You be generous. And I'll say, you know, God messed with me with this passage this week. You know, I do believe God's word is to be applied. And I do believe I have to listen to it too. And so I'm working on this and I'm reading. sell your possessions and give to the poor. And then I'm thinking, well, we've got a whole bunch of possessions we're selling this weekend at a garage sale. And so I talked to the family, and it was a little shock to all our systems. I'm like, hey, I think what we're supposed to do is everything that we get earned in this garage sale, we're supposed to give it to the poor. And we had to do some mental shifting, because normally that's fun money. Normally that's, you know, go out to eat money or buy something you wouldn't otherwise money. But we hadn't really decided what we were doing with the garage sale funds. And, you know, there was some talk of maybe a treehouse fund or, but it's like, no, let's follow this. We're selling our possessions, let's give it to the poor. And it changed our attitude as we were having the garage sale. It let us hold things a little less tightly because we're like, well, we're just going to give the money away anyway, so here, have a good deal. And, you know, oh, but also let's see if we can get this sold so that we can have more to give to the poor. It changes how you think when you follow God's word. Put your treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Give. Be generous. If you put an amount in the plate or in an envelope that you can immediately forget about, your heart and your mind won't change. They, oh, you know, $5, okay. You know, because, you know, I do that sometimes. You know, I'm visiting a church and, okay, what's the smallest bill I have? Put it in there. I can forget about it like that. But if I'm giving generously, it's an amount that I notice is out of my wallet. Well, I almost never carry cash. So it's an amount I notice out of my bank account. That starts to change you. That puts to death greed. If you support Christians in Iraq, if you support Interfaith Partnership for the Homeless, if you support work in Niger, all of things that this church does support, if you support it in a way that you can forget about it, oh, yep, yeah. You know, I did that this week. I supported Wikipedia with my $10 because I use Wikipedia and I figure that's a nice thing to do. $10 I can forget about. Now, had I given them $200, I wouldn't have forgotten about it quite so fast. God says, give to what I'm doing in a generous way that you will feel, that will change how you spend your money, how you view your money. The gold standard for 4,000 years has been the tithe. 10% of what God provides for you to live on to give back to what God's doing in this world. And you can think, well, I know better. I know it just needs to be 2.5%, but God really does know something here. And God says more than just be generous. He says, test me on this one. I'm going to jump back to the Old Testament. And in Malachi, the prophet says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you will not have enough room to take it all in. Try it. Put me to the test. Test me on this, God says. If you live with an open hand, if you take out of that open hand and give God 10%, God's going to keep it full. We can never fill the bucket on our own. But if we take our eyes off the bucket, lo and behold, God can fill it to overflowing. And this isn't prosperity gospel. This is just what God says, how it works. Of, hey, this is how God works. So think about your giving. Is it generous? I'm not preaching this sermon because we're in a stewardship campaign. We'll talk about that later. I'm preaching this because we're talking about a better way in spiritual growth. This is a tool towards spiritual growth. Giving generously doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen just because, well, this is what's left over, I'll give that away. No, it happens intentionally, off the top, off the bat. And it is not natural. It puts to death what is natural for something better. If you say, I don't want to, well, that's normal. Say, well, what is God calling me to do? How is God calling me to be generous? If you say, I'm looking at my life and my funds and I can't, that's why we're offering things like financial peace. To help you see how you could. How you can order your finances in a way to say, oh yeah, God really is providing enough for all I need. So down at the bottom of the sermon notes, there's a blank box. I want you to think, what needs to happen to your giving? What is God leading me to do? Maybe it's a big radical one-time gift. Maybe it's just an increase in what you're doing regularly. Maybe it's supporting a ministry that you've heard about but never taken that step. But radical generosity is a tool for spiritual growth and leads to a better way. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you that you call us to a good life, but a life that's not natural. Help us to open ourselves up to what you're saying, to take big and little steps of faith alike, trusting you with our lives and all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.